Well, good morning. I want to greet each one of you in Jesus' precious name this morning. Without Him, our life would be vain. I struggled a bit with what to share this morning, and it seemed like the Lord led me to this point. This is a topic or a message that I was asked to share at Bethel about 2 years ago. Bethel Mennonite Church, Andrew Peachy asked me to, and someone suggested I would share it here. I was a bit timid to, but it seems like the Lord directed that to happen this morning. The title He gave me was Plugging Into Your Church, and I thought about Barnabas. Henry was talking about Barnabas. That's a good example of being plugged into your church. And I think when Andrew gave this topic to me, the concern was that to instill interest or dedication to serving, being part of your church, getting involved in it. And as we think about Barnabas, I think that's that was a very good example of someone who was. So this morning, the purpose of this message is to remind us of the responsibility we have as being by being part of the church. You know, we all like to come here and sit in the pews and be fed. We all like when people do things nice for us. We all like when we're in a jam, someone comes and helps us. But you know, we have to be that person sometimes too, or we are not plugged in. We're just riding along. So what is the church? As we think about the church, it's a collective group of those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have their sins forgiven by His blood. And you know, I want to emphasize that this morning, that the only way to be part of the church is through Jesus Christ. You can, returning to a few scriptures this morning, John chapter 10, I'd like to pick up here. Thinking about Jesus being the only way. John chapter 10, verse 7 through 9. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So it's only through Christ, that we can be part of His church and part of His kingdom. And we can go in and out, and He says we can be saved and we can find pasture, fulfilling nourishment. As we think about the church, continue to think about the church, Colossians Chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. The body of Christ. Colossians 1, 12 through 18. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us unto the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers. All things were created by Him, and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. I was going to stop at verse 18. This morning, are you thankful to be part, to be privileged to be part of this kingdom? Verse 12, giving thanks, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We thought a little bit about heaven this morning. We can also, we have the down payment here on this earth, and we have the body of Christ that we can be privileged to be a part of. Verse 13 and 14, remember what you have been saved from. He hath translated us, delivered us from the power of darkness, and translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son. We have the words damnation. Destined to hell. Guilt. The fear of meeting God, the thought of Adam and Eve in the garden when they sinned, and the guilt and the fear that gripped their hearts, they went and hid. We know the damnation and the guilt that was there, but he has translated us under the kingdom of his dear Son. And we have the head of the church, the one who was present and took part in the creation of the universe, and he is the head of the church. As we think about Christ being the head is what should direct the body. Verse 18, preeminence. The first in rank or influence. It's all about Jesus, first of all, right? Sometimes we get that mixed up. Yes, we need the help of the church. But what should our focus be? Our focus should be, what can we do to benefit the church, the body of believers? The church is a visible local gathering of believers. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, I don't know if we'll turn there, but it talks about Priscilla and Aquila and the church that was in their house. They were in a time when a lot of them, well, there were synagogues where the Jewish people and the proselytes met. And I don't know if they don't know that they had built churches, church houses by then, but the church was in their house. Let me think about the prevailing thought today that I'm going to just stay home and I can't get along with anybody quite right. So I'm going to be the church by myself, and I'm going to pick and choose what I want to hear. Matthew chapter 18. Let's look at a few things there. There's a few things here that Jesus referenced that are not possible by yourself. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that at the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, I didn't do the research on this word church here and what Jesus was actually referring to. We know this is before the establishment of the New Testament church. But I suppose he was speaking of an assembly of sorts here. He says in verse 17, if you have a problem and you can't reconcile it, take it to the church. In verse 20, it talks about, it indicates a gathering again. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. So what is the purpose of the church? Well, the purpose of the church, one of the purposes of the church is to continue Jesus' ministry on earth. We know the familiar verses, the words that Jesus told the disciples as he left. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Go ye. Teach what you have been taught, whatever your level of understanding is. Baptize them. Build a church. Continue to build a church. What did Jesus do while he was here on this earth? He ministered to the needs of others, and I think he would ask us to do the same. Minister to the needs of others like Jesus did. And remain separate from the world. We know what James says in chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep himself unspotted from the world. That's a pretty good assignment for us today. It will keep us busy for a good while. But the idea of reaching out, ministering to the needs of others, to those in our assembly and to those out beyond as well. What is the purpose of the church? 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 5. Paul is giving instruction to Timothy. Second Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. Here Paul is giving instruction to Timothy, a leader in the church, to preach and to reprove and to rebuke. And it's important that the leaders of a church accept their responsibility. What is it for? Edification. Encouragement. You know, that's something that all of us can do. Edify and build up. Encouragement. We need encouragement. Life is hard sometimes, and we need the help of others. It is our connection here on earth to God. Yes, we have individual connection too. There's something about getting together and receiving encouragement like we did this morning so far. John chapter 15, we'd like to look at that. It's the Jesus giving the analogy of him being the vine. As we think about being, about plugging in to the church, plugging into the body of Christ. Verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And that verse is what I wanted out of this, one of the verses I wanted out of this, as being connected to the vine. If we're not connected to the vine, if we're not plugged in, if you will, ye cannot bear fruit. You can't bear fruit by yourself, he says. We need to be plugged in to Christ and to his church. Without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide in me, he is not in me. He is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So we need to be connected. We need to be connected to the vine. That is one of the purposes of the church, to help keep us connected to Christ and to his body, the church. Well, what are some things that I must give up to be part of the body? Well, probably first on the list is our will. John chapter 8, 28 and 29, Jesus makes a declaration here. I think it should be our declaration as well. John chapter 8, 28, 29. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things which please him. I do nothing of myself. I do always those things which please him. That's a difficult task, isn't it? It is. Laying down our will for the will of God is a hard job. What do we think about Jesus in the garden? It was a hard job for him as well. But he was willing to do it so that we could have forgiveness of sins. You know, he said in John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, he said, no man takes it from me. You know, no man had enough power to do that. Jesus at his, over the time of his crucifixion, he said, I have 12 legions of angels that I could call. And a legion was 6,000. You take that times 12, and that's 72,000 angels that he had, that he could have called, but he didn't. He submitted to his Father's will and gave his life for you and me. What about us submitting our will to the Father and simple things? I don't know that any of us have physically been asked to give up our lives, especially not for someone else. But what are we willing to do? Sometimes it's not much. And I thought about another thing that we must give up to be part of the body. What about petty hurts, those little things? What did Jesus do on the cross? Those men who were crucifying, he extended forgiveness to them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then we have these little things that happen to us, and people do to us, and we can't take it. One of the things we must give up to be part of the body. Another thing we must give up is our things. Whose are they now? Thought about the rich young ruler. We turn to Mark chapter 10. Look at that account briefly. You know, as we surrender to the will of God, and we give up, we say we surrender all our will. What about our things now? Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 25. And when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? The disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again, and saith unto them, Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, With men it is impossible, but with God, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Jesus knew what stood in the way for this young man. It was his possessions. It was the things that he had. And he didn't want to give them up. He was sad and he went away grieved. But Jesus explained himself further and he said, They that trust in riches. You know, I think riches are one of this generation's greatest distractions. They're one of our great distractions. Whether it's the greatest or not, I don't know. Are you willing to use them to the furtherance of the kingdom, or you hang on to them? Are your riches your possessions or tools to be used in Christ's kingdom? Another thing we must give up to be part of the body of Christ is time. And some of us must give up more, some less, maybe. But time is money to a lot of us. And it's hard to take time sometimes, like we should, to do the things that we need to do for the kingdom of God. 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10. Continuing the thought of riches and the snare, time. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It says the pursuit of riches can bring a snare. We have words like drowns. We have pierce. And I believe that's probably what the rich young ruler, his case was. So what is the answer? Down in verse, same chapter, verses 17 and 18. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So wherever we are today, whether you consider yourself rich or not, there's something we can all do for the kingdom of God and for His church. Well, it's not all about giving. It's lots of receiving as well. So what are some of the things that I receive by being part of this body? This is not necessarily specifically to being a member of the church, but through the forgiveness of sins and being integrated into the body of Christ, we have forgiveness of sins. And we have hope of eternal life. How much are those worth to us? We're privileged to be part of the family of God. Part of a community of believers that truly cares about you. Where else can you go out? People in the world are so lonely. They have no friends. They live for themselves. And it's lonely out there. We are privileged to be part of the family of God. We have access to a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwells only righteousness. All the many things. What did this package cost Jesus? It cost him everything. So why should it not cost me anything? Why should it cost me just half-hearted service? I'd like to think of some of the hindrances to participation in the church. I have pride on top of the list. Pride can do several things. It can convince us that we can make it on our own. We don't need anyone else's help. It can convince us that we want to be in charge. I thought of the verse in 3 John, verse 9, talked about Diotrephes that wanted to have the preeminence. What did we say the church is for? It's for continuing on the mission of Jesus Christ. And was his mission about pride in his position? Was his mission about being the boss? His mission was about what he could do for others. Another hindrance for the participation in the church is lethargy or laziness. Is it really worth the time and effort it takes to be part of the church? It takes some effort. It does. Is it really worth it? If we have that attitude, we won't get very far. Another hindrance I had is being sensitive. Easily hurt. I'm always treated badly. I get no due credit for my effort. And my opinions never get anywhere. We know that. That is a big hindrance. Being plugged in. Being part. Being a upbuilding member in the church. Another privilege I had down is executive privilege. Am I willing to use my position for my personal gain or to get my way? I don't think Jesus gave us an example of that. Jesus was here. He used his position to bring salvation. He used his position to help those around him. Well, I'd like to look at some of the helps to participation in church. Being plugged in. Humility. It's the opposite of the pride we just looked at. Realize that we do need the accountability of the brotherhood. I need my brother's ideas to help balance my ideas. That's difficult. Looking at it through the eyes of self. Because surely we understand the best. We're willing to sit down and compare notes. Are we willing to recognize that our brother's opinion may have been better than ours? Another help in participation in church, staying plugged in, enthusiasm. The opposite of being lazy. Do we view it as a privilege? Is it a privilege to be part of the church? Well, let's do all we can to build it up, to make it a great place to be, make it a great place for others, and in turn it will become a great place for us too. Where is he directing us to work in his vineyard next? It has to be together. Another help in participation in church. What can I do to help others? This morning we will find much more fulfillment in helping others than we will by nursing our own needs and hurts. It's not about me. Isn't that the way Jesus did? It's about us and our collective surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Another help in participation in church is to recognize that I am a servant. Luke 17, I'll read these verses again. I think Johnny read them just not long ago. Luke chapter 17, verse 7 through. I'm in the wrong book. That will help. Here we go. Luke 17, verse 7. Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise, when ye have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Just an unprofitable servant. You know, if we have that attitude, it'll go a long, long way in helping in participation in church. Well, I'd like to think of a few practical outworkings. Like I said, this was prepared for another congregation, and I'm not here to say these things to reprimand you, but these are things that it's good to be reminded of, I suppose. Practical outworking. What are some things that I can look at to see if I'm plugged in to my church? And when I gave this message the other time, I had a coffee maker and I let it sit up here for a while unplugged for a lesson that it won't get anywhere. It won't help anybody if it's not plugged in. And then we plugged it in later on and it made some coffee. So if you think about this, what can we look at in our, what are some outworkings that we can look at in our lives that can tell us whether we're plugged in or not? Well, the first one I had was church attendance. How easy is it to miss Wednesday evening service or Sunday evening service or Sunday morning service? How easy is it? What does it take for you to stay at home and enjoy your evening or your morning? Now, I know there are situations where our health does not allow, but how easy is it for that to happen to you? Are you regularly late to church? I know our personal makeup determines some of that, but are we regularly late or not? Are you willing to participate and accept assignments? It takes time to repair. What about outreach participation? Can I sacrifice my time to go help someone else? I'm not talking about just passing out tracts, but other helping other people. I had in mind here of going storm cleanup or whatever, and there's plenty of other things that you don't have to go on storm cleanup to help someone else. There's plenty of things in the community that can be done as well. You know, it costs time and money to go help someone else usually. But I wonder sometimes why usually the best participation is at the beginning of an outreach project, a new outreach project. And then as it goes on, then we're down to some of the same small group. So these are just some practical ways I thought of to see. Or we're like the rich young ruler and it ends up just costing us too much. It's a verse in 1 Corinthians 16 I would like to point out. Uses an interesting word here as relating to the work of the church. 1 Corinthians 16. Paul is talking about someone here. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanus that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Addicted. You know what? We know what addiction is. Addicted to the ministry of the saints. I like that picture. Another practical outworking is in the line of giving. I want to commend y'all here for your giving. I'm not here to try to drag more out. I want to be sensitive to that. I know we have limitations. This particular church that I was at, they work their school by tuition base. It's a requirement, or generally a requirement. And I asked them the question, should we have to require tuition for our school? Or can we give and make it work otherwise? Do we have to be pushed, in other words? What about medical expenses? Why do we have to adopt a medical sharing plan? And I guess this is something we could think about. And it's a thing that as a deacon, you worry about sometimes, but really, can we make it work? It will take sacrifice. It will. What about meeting the minimum requirements for church membership? How easy is it for you to violate your church's written standards? Are most of your standards useless or ill-conceived? What is your... If that's our opinion, you're not plugged in. You're not plugged in very far, at least. Are you excited about your church? Are you involved? Do you get in and let's make this thing work? Well, in conclusion, this may sound harsh, but I think being part of a church and not plugged in is both an injustice to Jesus Christ Himself, and it also is a sorry existence for ourselves as well if we are in that position. Nobody wins. Jesus talked about the lukewarm church there, the lukewarmness. Nobody wins. By contrast, being plugged into your church can be a joyful, rewarding experience as we allow God's Spirit to work in our lives and draw us ever closer to our Savior and to His church, the body of believers. I would like us yet to turn to 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, and I would like us to say this verse, these two verses together in closing. Second Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. Are y'all ready? Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. May the Lord add his blessing.